This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The car, Scott Anderson, 97-1 the ticket. Pistons, big underdog in game one. 7 points. Biggest point spread of any of the first round matchups so far, given that the play-in tournament has to be played out. The 1 and 2 seeds will get their opponents at that time, but I'm overvaluing what's happened in the regular season. I'm surprised.
You know what's going to be awesome with playoff basketball coming back? We all know how the playoffs are. Everything you overanalyze every down, every inning, right? Yep. Every puck possession, every yep. possession in basketball. This is what it's going to be like. And I know the game didn't mean anything yesterday, Gator, but it gave me a big game feel to hear. Like, you know, you're on a national stage, you got the national announcers and things like that. And I just can't wait till Saturday. It is a kind of a long layoff, like 5 days, but hopefully they get healthy.
This is like a summer league game. It's kind of fun to see.
Oh, yesterday, yeah.
I mean, Sasser played 43 minutes. You know, you empty the whole...
Dude, Lindy Waters was out there for most of the game.
35 minutes for Lindy Waters. You know, Tolu Smith, 22 minutes. Bobby Clintman, 23 minutes. Ron Harper Jr. Raise your hand if you know who Dennis Jenkins is. You know, I mean, they emptied the bucket and emptied the bench. It was it's kind of fun to see that happen. And in a game where they were very competitive, but Milwaukee did the same thing. You know, Pat Connaughton had 43 points. Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough.
248-539-9797. Mondays mean Champ and Chump. Get your votes in for Champ and Chump of the weekend. Something going on at the Masters. Well, something going on maybe because of the Masters. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. But first, Bridge is in Farmington Hills, and he's on 97.1. Hi, Bridge.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Bridge?
Hey, I got a champ and a chump. Mm-hmm. My champ is Rory McIlroy for the obvious reason that everybody enumerated, you know, sentimental favorite and career Grand Slam and all that. So that I have three reasons. So that was the number one reason. Number two, he championed the PGA Tour between him and Tiger Woods, you know, the top players yep. who didn't want to leave for the live thing. So, and for that same reason, I didn't want DeChambeau to win it.
Right.
So that's my number two.
Yeah.
Number three reason is I have a strong Irish connection. I went to, growing up in India, I went to a Catholic school. 12 years, same school, kindergarten through high school. And it was run by the Irish Christian Brothers. And for the last 6 years, they were also our teachers, not just administrators.
Okay.
So we got a lot of Irish in there growing up there. So that's my connection to the Irish.
So, Bridge, you grew up in India going to an yeah. Irish Catholic school.
Correct. 12 years, same school, kindergarten through high school.
Fascinating. Did the instructors and these administrators, did they have Irish accents?
Oh, absolutely. They were from Ireland, and they used to go back very often and tell us stories about Ireland, and we sang every Irish song that they taught us.
Do you find that you have a different accent than other people of Indian descent because of that?
Probably, I guess. You know, because, you know, there was a boarding school, so you were with them 24 hours a day. And so, as I said, the last 6 years, they were also our teachers. So you were with them all day and evening, the sports and games and the, you know. So it was
fascinating.
Like I said, I have a very, very soft heart for Ireland
yeah,
because
yeah.
of that. And so that makes Rory McIlroy a good story for me, for everybody, but for me especially. But anyway.
That's awesome.
So my chump is the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And, you know, that the same period, the same time last year, the last game, when, you know, went into the skid. And when they started losing here this year, I braced myself for the fall then. And so, but the thing is, if you brace yourself for a fall, it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. You just don't break it as many bones. So that, you know, but they are a big disappointment again.
Well, it's hard to imagine. I mean, I said it earlier in the show. If they make, Bridge, thank you for the phone call. If they make the playoffs next year, and it will be 10 years in between playoff appearances, there's something really ironic that Ken Holland sent Detroit off the deep end with his comments about 10 years ago. Hey, guys, rebuilds can take 10 years, and they don't have to. That's the crazy thing. They don't have to. Competent, well-constructed, you know, good draft picks, veteran signings, good trades, right coach. Rebuilds don't have to take 10 years. And he didn't say it had to take 10 years. He said they could take 10 years. Mm-hmm. And he started the rebuild in what appears to be a not particularly competent way. Eisenman took over, and while he drafted better than Ken Holland, there have been very little results from a team standpoint. Sure, we can like some of the young players, but there's no obvious superstar in the pipeline. There's some solid pieces.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow, and you know, when it was finally over with the other night, because, you know, Montreal was able to go to overtime against Toronto, and who cared whatever the result was. I mean, that finally put the final bullet into the season. It's done. It's done. They'll play tonight, have two more games after that. So tonight's the last game at home, which is always kind of a cool thing for the last home game, where they do, you know, give a salute to the fans. But it's just another disappointing end. It's 3 years in a row. There was hope in March, that going into March, that is completely dashed because of March. And there's just too many factors that go into it. It hurts. It stinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the players that, and now there's the Swedish players coming from the Swedish league, Sandin Pelikka and Brandzik Nygaard are supposed to go to Grand Rapids, I guess, so maybe not coming to play a game or two with the Red Wings. We'll see. And we'll see if the Red Wings give anybody a call up just for a couple games. But if they don't, it's truly done. It's missed opportunities that they had, and get back to the drawing board in the off season. But I think that there are absolutely ways to make this team playoff caliber in the off season. Then we'll see if they have the guts to do it.
All right, Scott. Yesterday, I mentioned this earlier in the segment. Yesterday was the Masters. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you at any point while watching the Masters over the weekend, did you work on your takeaway? Did you putt in the living room?
You know what? I didn't.
The Justin Rose, before his pre-shot routine, right, shows him he's trying to groove the swing in. Did you work on any of that stuff?
I really didn't. I would admit to it if I had.
I know you would have. That's why I asked.
There have been times I have done that, but I did not do that this weekend.
Did you check the forecast? Did you dust off the clubs? Did you think about it?
Yesterday, I thought for a brief moment, is today a driving range day?
Okay.
But no, because today's a day. Not today. I want to watch the Masters.
Okay.
But coverage wasn't going to start till, what, 2 o'clock, and Tigers were coming on.
Did you see anybody out playing golf this weekend?
I did not. I did look. I tried to take a peek going by one of the country clubs, but I didn't see anybody.
So we were up north. The weather isn't ready for it, but certainly the damage. We drove through the Boyne Highlands golf course and saw, I mean, some significant damage that it's going to take a while to clean up. And there were utility trucks everywhere. But on the way back, we're coming down 75 to 23, and we passed Fenton Farms Golf Course, which is right off the highway there. And I saw a twosome on the green, which you could see another kind of on a tee box, another on the playing the previous hole. And I'm like, people are out golfing. And here's the thing. Is the Sunday of the Masters the worst day to be playing golf? Like, I feel like people get fired up because of the Masters going on. But don't you want to watch the Masters, even if you're a hardcore golfer?
I mean, I suppose it's the best day to play golf if you're going to play in that morning. But, I mean, it's weather dependent, like you said. So if it's not going to be warm enough to enjoy it until, say, noon.
Yeah.
And you play a 4.5 hour round. By the time you get home, it's 5:30.
You've missed most of the final round.
You put yourself in a bubble, I suppose. But no, I wouldn't want to play while the Masters is going on.
No. No, and I feel like golf, I
ask yourself the question later in the season. If the U.S. Open, final round of the U.S. Open, do you feel like playing golf at that point? Now, that point might be different because weather's so nice. Yeah, I want to be out golfing. Oh, while I missed the U.S. Open final round? Okay.
Yeah, I will probably pass on Sunday golf, but I might miss the third. I might miss the third round.
Yeah, third round. I mean, Saturday is fair game for anything.
I just want to know if anybody's a golf fan that golfed yesterday during the Masters, because I think in some ways it was a weekend, one of the first weekends for people to get out there.
Mid the high 50s.
Yeah. You know, could be you get inspired. You're seeing it. You've said it's happened in the past, right? You're watching golf and then you go, yeah. Okay. It just didn't happen yesterday.
No, I did not find myself doing the practice swings or anything like that. I did not go into my bag, get the putter out and get a golf ball and knock it into a cup or anything like that. I was not doing that.
Right. 248-539-9797. Anybody golf yesterday? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, if you need a new garage door, only one place to call. Precision Garage Door Service. They are amazing. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can visit them at precisiondoormi.com. If you need a new garage door, here's what's great about Precision. They can get you one in as little as 24 hours in some cases, because they're the only company with new garage doors in stock at their local warehouse. Nobody does it faster. Nobody does it better. I've had new garage doors put in my house, and Precision was the place to call. They came out. They addressed the issues, told me, hey, let's go through a bunch of options. We went through a bunch of options. We ended up picking out the perfect garage doors for my house. I could not be happier. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or visit them at precisiondoormi.com. While we've been talking hockey in a little bit here today, and congratulations to the Western Michigan Broncos winning the national championship, getting a lot of champ votes for Champ and Chump. I did want to say, I wouldn't want to give a little bit of a shout out to Isaac Howard from Michigan State, who won the Hobie Baker Award. He's the nation's top collegiate hockey player. And looks like he's going to come back to Michigan State for his senior season. Provided he doesn't get some deal done with, I think he's with Tampa's rights. But 52 points on the year, 26 goals, 26 assists in 37 games. And obviously Michigan State fell short of their goals. But for him, top hockey player in the country. Nice job.
248-539-9797. Let's go to JT in Detroit. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, JT.
Yay, good afternoon. How are you all?
What's up?
Great. I and my boys, we teed off at 9:30 yesterday morning, and we were done just a couple minutes before 2, in time to have a few ginger ales at the 19th hole and watch the first few holes of the front nine, home to watch the rest.
Where'd you play?
To borrow one of your phrases, Gator, at a local country club.
Ah, there you go. Nice. Well done.
JT, were you inspired by the Masters?
So I had an opportunity to watch the tournament all weekend, and yeah, I was inspired. I'm not a fan of the winner, so I was hoping to see somebody else win, but it was nice that he added that to his cache of victories.
Why are you not a fan of the winner?
Numerous reasons, and I'll just highlight. Did you see DeChambeau in an interview yesterday Rory didn't say a word to him all day long. Not a word.
Yeah.
Not even an F. Not even an FU. So that'll just summarize why I'm not a fan.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think Rory's a fan of the LIV guys.
Clearly, he's not.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not either. So
yeah,
not,
I have no issue with him. I wouldn't expect him to say a word final round. Not going to say a word. Either maybe hey, good luck at the beginning of it, and that's it.
Yeah,
I can deal with my stuff. You deal with your stuff.
Bob in Ortonville, you're next on 97.1. Hello, Bob.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up?
Same with that guy. I teed off at 9:30 yesterday. The club, the country club that I play at, they did a Masters tournament. They do it every year. You get randomly paired with a guy who made the cut, and then they take your score and their score, and they add it together, and then we have a winner. So teed off at 9:30, was in the clubhouse by 2:15, was able to see the last few groups tee off and had some lunch there, and you got to watch everything with as people are coming in and telling us their scores, and it was a lot of fun. Like I said, we do it every year. We do it for the Open as well, and we do it for all the major championships.
How'd your team do?
Well, I had Denny McCarthy. He shot one under, which is nice, but his playing partner, myself, did not shoot very well. So,
course in good shape?
Yeah, it's in really good shape. We play out at Metamora Country Club. Nice. They do a really good job out there. So,
fun. Yeah, it's weird. Kang sent me a text on Saturday. He goes, I can't imagine going to play pickup basketball during Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And I'm like, yeah, golf is like that. Hardcore golf fans can... preempt watching the golf like a big event to go play.
I was going to say, but basketball's played at night, but you play pickup ball at night sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, they're open. Yeah, there's 24-hour gyms, dude.
From Dane and Grand Blanc, the golf courses were loaded Saturday. Stephen McComb said, I played two rounds of disc golf yesterday. It was a beautiful day. Unnamed texter played on Saturday, had the Masters on the iPad and the speaker on. From Dan, we did play yesterday, had it on the speaker, Sirius XM. We golfed out at Calderon yesterday. I was home by 4 o'clock to watch the last part of the Masters. It was a great day.
You got to see quite a bit if you got home at 4 o'clock. You seen the whole second nine.
Unnamed texter, I love to golf. I hate watching golf. I wouldn't think twice about golfing instead of watching it, regardless of what tournament was on.
That's interesting.
Yep. I mean, I find it interesting that he hates watching
golf. Yeah, I mean, I get that you'd rather play than watch. I totally understand that, but that wouldn't watch at all?
Guess not.
I mean, for me, a lot of it is weather dependent. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to tell me that it's going to be 75 and sunny with little wind on the final day of the Masters and I get invited to go play golf,
you're in.
I'm probably going to go play golf.
From Rudy working in his car, huge golf fanatic here, played 18 yesterday, started early in the morning and was home in time to watch the last three groups tee off. Turned out to be a beautiful day. 248-539-9797. Chris is in New Boston on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Chris.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Great, right. Thank you.
So I teed off at 1:30 yesterday at a local dog track, and here was my reason why. I had Justin Rose at plus 3,300, and where he was at after Saturday, it was like, I'm going to hit the links, and then I'm following along, and it's like, holy crap, he's in this thing. Yeah. And needless to say, I got home to watch Rory poop his pants on 18, and then I got to watch the first playoff hole, and then obviously he made a brilliant shot to win it. And mine was purely money motivated, but I did watch Thursday and Friday because I had the days off. But I enjoyed my golf yesterday as well.
So, did you bail early, or did you finish your round when you saw that Justin?
No,
I finished.
Okay. I finished, and then was able to make it back. It was slow play yesterday. There were a lot of people out there. A lot of neophytes like myself. So, but it was nice to get back. And boy, I was really hoping to buy a new set of clubs with that
the winnings
money. Yeah. And it didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, he made a run, made a heck of a run. I mean, he charged out to the lead in the first round. Pack kind of caught up to him. And then he all but faded from the discussion. And then he was six shots back early on the day on Sunday. And it's five shots back and then three shots back. And then,
you know, watching him play over all these years, when they got to the playoff and they both put it on the green and Justin Rose goes to hit first, and it was whatever it was, 8-10 feet away, I thought for sure he's going to make it, because that's just what he does in like Ryder Cup situations.
Yeah.
He was always that guy. One of those guys. I feel like always the Europeans came up with a big clutch putt when they needed to. Like, this is going to be it. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is European on European crime here. Maybe he won't.
I found, you know, me and my relationship with watching golf, I'm a casual golf fan, relatively speaking. I definitely get in fired up for the majors, and I'll take in a tournament here or there. And at some point, you know, I want to go to a Ryder Cup in Europe. I'd like to go to the Waste Management and experience that, that scene. But with that said, I think that that was the most entertaining non-Tiger Woods Masters in recent memory. And I wonder if the ratings will reflect that. I haven't seen any ratings for Sunday yet, but do you think that might have been, this might be on par with a Tiger Masters, or is it just?
No, I think absolutely, because you get that matchup of DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy going into it. I think absolutely this would be a highly viewed Masters final round. Now, maybe, I mean, would it be higher than a Tiger one? I'm not sure about that, because Tiger's the ultimate attraction. But would this be a second to any other Tiger one? Maybe.
I'd be intrigued.
I thought for sure this would be a very highly viewed Masters final.
Because Rory, you know, is, I think he's really great, and I love watching him. And that's a storyline that is easy for people to understand. Yeah, he's won all the majors except this one. DeChambeau, I think, is a bit of a polarizing figure. I think in a lot of people's eyes, he salvaged his reputation with his embracing of social media and his YouTube videos, where he comes across as far more likable. But the early versions of DeChambeau, I went from fascinated to I don't like the guy to I can't stand the guy. And what I found fascinating was the whole way he did his clubs, all the clubs the same length. And then he bloated up and, you know, looked like he'd been pumping iron and steroids.
on a creatine diet.
Yeah. But I don't mind when people try to do it their own way. But, you know, the live thing hasn't helped at all. So anyway, I'll be intrigued when the numbers come out, if this pushed Tiger Woods as far as the theater that it was, because it was really, really compelling. 248-539-9797. Tigers take 2 of 3 at Minnesota. There's a lot to discuss there with this team. Some things going better than ever could be expected. Others need to pick it up. But open a series with Milwaukee tonight. Still in first place, our Tiger team. Early in the season, lots to go, but damn, they're fun to watch. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. You guys hear me talk about Twin Peaks a lot, usually about how they offer up the best game day atmosphere in the state, how they serve up the coldest draft beer you've ever had, that they have the beautiful Twin Peaks girls, hospitable and all, serving it all up, and of course, the Scratch Kitchen. Well, Twin Peaks is offering up something new, catering. That food you crave can now be yours at work, at your house party, even your tailgate. They offer up a wide variety of party packs, featuring favorites like their chicken fried chicken, street tacos, char-grilled salmon, steak salads, and so much more. There isn't a sports bar in the world that can compete with their food. Gator and I were just there for March Madness. The food is outstanding. And now, if you can't make it to your favorite lodge for lunch, you can have it at work. Their wing packs are perfect for tailgaters. Call the store and speak to a manager for details, or check them out on EasyCater.com, EasyCater.com. If you've never tried their food, you've got to. Detroit baseball action is heating up. Stop by your closest lodge. Check it out for yourself. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. It's been a while since we got a wrong text.
Oh. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. It starts with, I'm going to choke this dude at work.
Wait a minute. Is it from a P. Hegseth?
No.
I don't know. Sometimes you get on the wrong text threads. You never know.
I think I'll leave out the details of what he wrote after that.
That's pretty brazen. I don't know if I need to know. You can don't say his name. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What? If it starts like that, everybody wants to hear the rest of it.
They get into some specifics that I think I probably should lead out. Let's just say that there's some communication errors.
Can you do some editing?
I can. Anytime blank calls out doors that are empty. I better stop.
I think it's interesting, Doug, because do you even have any idea what he does for a living?
No.
Based on this? Me neither.
I have no idea.
So how could, you know, I don't know if we're getting...
Yeah, but he knows what he does for a living, and people he work with knows what he does for a living.
But how many people do this job? Could be a lot.
What job?
I don't know.
Let's just say that one of our listeners is very frustrated with some communication at work.
Oh, okay.
And it makes him want to choke this dude at work.
Let's choke a dude out.
Yeah. And then accidentally sent it to us.
He was texting his wife or his buddy or something?
I think he must have been, yeah. This happens every once in a while where somebody sends us a text and they were intending it. They obviously text us about something sports and then went to text their wife and put it on the same thread as us.
And so anyway, we can't text back either.
We can't. But this is what we call the wrong text. And somebody sent us the wrong text. Frustrations in the workplace. Showing up on a Monday. Let's just say that.
All I want to get her to guess what kind of job he did.
Yeah, I think it's probably best.
Have
I
don't more details.
This is a listener that, you know, texts us, sorry, guys, not meant for you. And so I think it's given. Nobody's going to know what this guy does for a living if I read the text. But, you know, the guy he wants to choke out at work might know if he hears about it. So let's just.
Well, do your job, dude. Let's just communicate better.
It needs to be better communication. Regarding golfing instead of watching golf, Jeff and Warren says, went past St. Clair Shores Golf Club yesterday, and there were 30-plus carts on the course at about 1:30. Chad in Lake Orion, you guys have phones, right? Why would you not want to watch the Masters while golfing? I drove by two courses yesterday afternoon with packed parking lots. So why would I not want to? I think if you have it on your phone while you're golfing, you're basically missing the Masters. You're seeing the score, you're seeing a shot here and there. But, you know, if you just flip it on and see Rory miss a putt on 15, you don't see the amazing shot that got him within range to make an eagle putt. Because you're staying up to date on what the score is. But for me, I'm not really watching.
Yeah, I couldn't. I don't like that either. Watching stuff while you're in a golf cart. I'm there to golf. If you wanted to do something else, do something else.
Yeah. Fellas, the best day to golf is Mother's Day. We celebrate on Friday to avoid the ridiculous crowd and subpar golfers. The first Sunday I tried it, I was alone on the course. The clubhouse guy said, everyone has a mother. That's from Greg in Brighton.
That's a smart call right there.
So you celebrate with your mom on Friday.
Or your wife.
Or your wife, mother of your children, and then you go golfing on Sunday because the golf courses are empty.
Do you get the green light on Mother's Day?
Well, you obviously have to prearrange. Do you mind if we celebrate Mother's Day early? I don't think I would start that negotiation.
No?
I don't think I would start that.
I mean, you could take her golfing.
I think the idea, if I said to my wife, hey, on Mother's Day, to celebrate you and what you have done as the mother of our children, would you like to go golfing?
Yeah, it doesn't sound so good.
It doesn't.
Now that I hear it out loud.
I mean, look.
If all the kids were out of the house, you know, and maybe you only had one straggler come and spend like, hey, we're going to have Mother's Day brunch or something like that. then could you take her out? If there are no children involved, which is the whole sole purpose of her being a mother in the first place.
It would take the right set of circumstance before this would even be on the
radar. Gotcha.
Look, I like to do this. Like, I listen to what my kids say and my wife say, and when they say, God, I really need a blank, whatever it is, I always make a mental note of it. I got, you know, a note on my phone about the next birthday, the next Christmas, Smart. The next... Yeah, and so by the end of the year, I just pay attention to everything, and then when I, you know, go out Christmas shopping, I revert to the list. I did that once for Mother's Day. It was a grave mistake.
So you got an appliance, didn't you?
Yeah, my wife made the comment... We really need to get a new frying pan. I'm like, ooh. Do not get your wife a frying pan for Mother's Day. Even if she said she wanted a new frying pan.
Wait, she could have said samurai sword. It's the same thing. It's a weapon. What are you doing?
Dude, it was early in the marriage.
Was it at least nonstick?
It was nonstick, yes.
Yeah, so when she bashed Doug in the head with it, it didn't stick to his
chrome, yeah.
It was one of the, and I remember her look, and I'm like, didn't you say you wanted one of these? And she looked at me and she goes, yeah.
Oh, now I can see your wife doing that. Yeah. And then walk away.
Yeah, I did say that.
But wait, there's more.
And you say I don't listen.
Honey, there's loving too, right?
Wait, I think there's a coupon in there. One free night.
Can you say BOGO?
Ooh, expiration date, never.
Yeah, just don't sell. Don't get him an appliance. Don't get him a frying pan.
No bowling ball.
Andrew writes in, so I live on the Orchards Golf Course in Washington Township. I was grilling and watching the tournament yesterday. Guys were golfing as they drove by. I kept telling them the leaderboard unsolicited. Was that mean? No, it wasn't mean. I have to imagine they liked it. All right, so Tigers. Tigers take 2 of 3 with Minnesota. Probably the best thing that came out of the weekend was Jackson Jobe. Was it Spencer Torkelson, another couple home runs? What was the best thing in your view that came out of the Tiger weekend?
I think Jackson Jobe, that was pretty tough to beat with the six innings, a couple of hits and a walk, 2 strikeouts, shutout baseball. That was great. And of course, it goes hand in hand with a Torkelson home run. That's pretty cool too. But seeing Jackson Jobe kind of settle in, third start of the season, third start of his career, and he looked great. He looked phenomenal, and that's a really good sign.
Yep, it's good to see, because you know there's going to be ups and downs with the kid. You know that there's, but the skill set. I mean, right now, I think I don't mean any disrespect to Reese Olson, none whatsoever. I get super excited about 4 of the 5 starters.
Right. And we've hardly even talked about Flaherty. Flaherty's off to the best start of all of them.
I know. But when you have a starting pitcher taken to the hill that you think at any given time can just go out and have a dominating performance, and I don't know if I think that about Jobe yet, I guess, to be fair. But Jobe's exciting because he is that young arm with a ton of talent. And I feel like I'm being disrespectful to Reese Olson. But Reese Olson isn't bad either. Like, the starting pitching is really, really, it's been good. It's been fun to watch. And tonight's another Scooble start. So, you know, a chance for them to add another win on this road trip and just keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I like the start they're off to, 9-6. When we looked at that schedule to start the season and we talked about it, and people were like, don't get too excited. That's a tough road right off the bat. Well, they're 9-6.
Yep.
That's a pretty good start. I like where they're at.
Do you see who they're facing tonight?
I did not look at the matchup.
They are facing former Detroit Tiger, Tyler Alexander.
Okay.
Yep. So, chance to see one of our Tiger from the past take on the Tiger of the now and the future, Tarek Skubal. Gotta help the future. Anyway, fun start for the Detroit Tigers. 3-game series with the Milwaukee Brewers before they come back home. And who
they got? They got a 10-game homestand. They'll play Kansas City for 4 games. Mm. Mentioned San Diego, and then I forget Baltimore, I think, after that.
Yep.
It's not going to be an easy homestand, but it's going to be a long one, which is good.
No,
the weather cooperates, and
we had that line last week about you beat the Yankees for show, but beat the Twins for dough. Winning in the division is a big part of winning the division.
Yes.
And they are 5-1 in the early going. Now, a lot of people are going to chalk up wins against the White Sox. Do you see what they are in the division?
I have not.
1-8.
Okay.
Yep.
So that one team that lost to them feels pretty bad.
Yep. But Tigers got a series win against another division rival. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, you trust CGC for top quality Connecticut water systems. Now trust them with your plumbing too. April showers bring flooded basements. Keep yours dry with a CGC water treatment system and plumbing. Right now, save 10% off a new Zoeller sump pump. Need backflow testing? CGC's got you covered. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Remember, if you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Don't be the filter. Call your authorized independent Connecticut dealer today, 855-339-4242, or visit cgcwater.com. Gator, you sent me a list over the weekend, a rolling list of players that the Detroit Lions have met with.
Yes.
Prior to the draft. What is it? You're given 30, right? You can bring in 30 players for visits. And, you know, these are, it's interesting to see how people use their visits. Because it looks like the Lions use their visits on mid-round guys. They don't use their visits. In fact, I don't think anybody they visited with, according to this list, looks like a first. Now, there's one. There's one. Maybe two.
There's definitely two.
There's two, yeah. The two are Gray Zabel from North Dakota State and Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M.
Well, Maxwell Hairston could argue, the corner.
I would be stunned if he's the pick, but he's around that area is where he kind of ends up getting mocked.
But I wonder if he's on this list because he was part of the local pro day that they had because he is from West Bloomfield. And Josiah Stewart was there too, if I'm not mistaken.
Josiah Stewart's on this list. The other one, yeah. Tyleek Williams, the defensive tackle from Ohio State. Yep. But most of these names are mid-round guys.
Yes. Mid to late or whatever.
Out of all of them, and there's a couple. You mentioned Josiah Stewart from Michigan. But Chaz Chambliss, the linebacker from Georgia, is on the list. Probably the one that really intrigued me is Harold Fannin from Bowling Green, the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he led the country in receptions last year at BG. And he really stood out. When you put him on a MAC field and saw him play, he did look like a man amongst boys. And I do think there's a need for a tight end at some point.
From what I know, the local visits don't count against your top 30.
Okay.
So Josiah Stewart shouldn't count against their 30.
Gotcha.
And I know they did a lot of local guys for that day they had.
Yeah. Well,
but you mentioned Fannin and how interesting he is. He's not like huge. He's 6'4", 230.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a pass-catching tight end, this guy had 117 receptions last year for 1,500 yards, including 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Do you have a game-by-game in front of you by chance?
Sure.
Okay. Who are the big boys that Bowling Green played?
I'd go to the beginning of the season, Penn State.
And how did he do in that game?
He had 11 receptions for 137 yards and a touchdown.
There you go.
Texas A&M. 8 catches, 145 yards and a touchdown, including a 65-yarder.
Okay, so he had dominant games against two playoff teams?
Yeah.
There's your small school guy. That's what you look for.
I'm going to throw the Chippewas a little bone here.
Okay.
It feels like they need to.
They need a little love today. Yeah.
He only caught 7 passes for 86 yards and no touchdowns against Central Michigan.
Wow.
While against Western, he had 10 for 137 and 2 scores.
Wow.
Look at that. Fire up.
There you go.
Yeah, those two games back-to-back against Texas A&M and Penn State combined 19 receptions, 282 yards receiving and two touchdowns.
Interesting. There is a report out there. NBC has a post here that Matthew Golden met with the Lions over the weekend. So add him to the list.
The wide receiver?
Wide receiver from Texas who seems to be, there's a guy that I'm a little curious. What kind of pick would it take to get Matthew Golden? I mean, isn't in some people's eyes after Travis Hunter, he could be the first wide receiver off the board?
He's very highly thought of.
Yeah. Only if he's a plunge guy, a candidate that falls into their lap?
He is number two on Matt Miller's wide receiver list from ESPN. Mm-hmm. Matt Miller just came out with a top 600 prospects and then ranks.
Be nice if he were thorough.
Right. And then ranks the top 10 by position. He's number two ahead of Emeka Ogbuka.
Also in the news today is Joe Dumars. Did you see this?
No.
Sham Sharania reporting that Hall of Famer Joe Dumars is a serious frontrunner to become the lead basketball executive with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Hmm.
Sources tell ESPN the 2003 Executive of the Year and 2004 Championship Executive with the Pistons is a Louisiana native. Dumars is currently heading NBA basketball ops.
Well, I wish him nothing but the best of luck.
I hate the way the Dumars era ended.
Yeah, it did not. He was getting booed by fans because of not being able to maintain the excellence that he had created, by the way.
Yeah.
When he put that going to work team together. And it's too bad because he should be applauded. A thundering ovation for Joe Dumars anytime he comes back. And I think the fans kind of feel bad about that. Those that did treat him that way at the end.
Yeah.
In the end, this is a guy that helped you win two championships as a player and then built the most unconventional championship basketball team in the last 50 years.
When backed into a corner with your best player and feeling like there's no way out.
Yeah.
He went out and made a trade that helped
set the foundation.
With getting Chucky Atkins and Ben Wallace in a trade that Ben Wallace turned out to be one of the most valuable assets in the league at that time, in that period of time. And then he went and totally revitalized Chauncey Billups' career. I think Billups had played for five teams in 6 years to start his career. Traded for Rip Hamilton.
Yeah, there you go. Another great player he traded away, Stackhouse.
Yep. And was able to then make the over-the-top move that is sort of a benchmark. Like when you make a move that when teams outside of your sport, people want the Lions to make a Rasheed Wallace move.
Yes.
Go get that veteran that puts you over the top. A trade he made is a reference point for all Detroit sports. So, yeah, it didn't end great, and it stinks, and that got uncomfortable, unfortunately. So I hope Joe Dumars has great success if he gets this job at New Orleans.
Yeah, I do too. Interesting, Matt Ishbia fired a coach again. They're going to have their fourth coach in the last 2 years, I think.
Really?
When they hire a new one. Apparently, Budenholzer and Devin Booker did not get along. So because of that, who wins? The star player wins.
Mm-hmm.
And one and done for Budenholzer.
Wow.
The funny thing about that, if you follow Twitter, is every story about this, if there are different pictures of Budenholzer, they all still have the same expression.
I told you guys this, remember? Because he was in the running for the Pistons job at one point. I'm like, this guy's facial expression is always like, huh? Like someone just told him something for the first time ever. In any picture he's in, he looks like, what?
We're allowed to fart in church?
You hired me? What? You fired me? Same expression.
And every picture of him, it's a different picture. There's like four or five different pictures out there, but they all have the same expression. It's great.
That's hysterical.
Gengard, spot on.
This stunned look. Really? What? Huh?
I'm so glad we don't have to do that with the Pistons anymore. I mean, J.B. Bickerstaff, hopefully, you know, is going to be here a while.
I really, really hope so. God, they're fun to watch. I can't believe we have to wait till Saturday night. And Gator, your point of savoring it is totally spot on. I should savor it.
It's all right.
It just feels like an awfully long wait. An awfully long wait before we get to see that playoff game against the New York Knicks. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. And Mike Stone has made his way in studio.
What's up, boys?
How you doing,
sir? How are you, Stoney?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's
pretty
good.
Pretty good.
He's filling in for the other Michael.
That's right.
Yep.
A week of me.
Yeah.
Enrico.
What do you guys got planned coming up next?
Oh, well, we'll talk about the roller coaster at Augusta.
Yeah, that was something, wasn't it?
Yes, we'll talk about disgusting. Is this the limit for college football? Have we reached our breaking point over the weekend with the Tennessee kid?
I would say disgusting is a bit strong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably, but you know.
I'd say extreme. Yeah. This feels like. I wonder if this will be a flashpoint moment to change.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is going to be what finally comes out, if anything, from the congressional hearings and all that. Are they going to set legitimate guidelines or legitimate rules, I should say?
I don't want there to be any sort of NIL salary cap.
You don't?
No.
Why?
Because I think certain schools then will blast right through said salary cap and return to getting their recruiting advantages, which they have lost.
If I may.
Rico is here as well.
No, I think what's going to happen is it's just going to be an elevated version of what it used to be. Well, the schools will pay the minimum, but the NIL and the collectives will still exist. So, Doug, you know, you can pay me $1 million and then Gators Collective will kick in the other million and then I'll go.
Well, but if it's not quote unquote legal under the rules, there's ramifications for that.
Well, be interested to see how it shakes out. You guys have a great show.
Thank you very much, Douglas.
And thank you everybody for being with us.
Sincere.
It is sincere. I want you to have an outstanding show. Stay safe, everybody, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.